Stories from the bookshelf of the world. Once again, the Armed Forces Radio Service brings you another story from the bookshelf of the world, designed for listening. Today, we take pleasure in bringing you Jane Austen's charming and immortal love story, Pride and Prejudice. It has been generally agreed by the best critics that Jane Austen has never been approached in her own field of writing. No other novelist has so concerned herself or himself with a trivial daily comedy of small provincial family life. About herself, Miss Austen said,
"I think I may boast myself to be, with all possible vanity, the most unlearned and uninformed female who ever dared to be an author."
But Sir Walter Scott thought differently when he said,
"Miss Austen's talent for ironical humor makes her pages unobtrusively bright and sparkling. Her language, which is as lifelike as the characters, flows so pleasantly that we seldom pause to consider its wit and cadence. What a pity such a gifted creature died so young."
Seated at her favorite desk in the family living room, Jane Austen wrote jestingly and for her own entertainment, Sense and Sensibility, Pride and Prejudice, Mansfield Park, Emma, Northanger Abbey, and Persuasion. In her books, there are neither peasants nor noblemen, great passions, nor the pointing up of any moral issues of the time. But the simple charm of domestic atmosphere and the daily comedy found within the small and provincial family circle.
Elizabeth Bennet was a beautiful girl. Proud, oh my, yes. And prejudiced, oh, very strongly against a certain Mr. Darcy. This is why. Elizabeth was at a ball given by a new man in the community, a Mr. Bingley, who appeared quite interested in Elizabeth's elder sister, Jane. Well, at the ball, Elizabeth was sitting out a dance alone when she overheard...
"Darcy! Darcy, why are you standing over here by yourself? Come, let's see you dance a few sets."
"Thank you, no. You're dancing with the only pretty girl in the room."
"Jane Bennet. She is beautiful, I'll not deny that. But there's her sister Elizabeth sitting over there to the right, who's very beautiful herself. Let me present her to you."
"Sorry, old man. She may look all right to you, but she doesn't tempt me. And I'm not in a good enough mood to feel like putting up with young ladies who have no partners."
You can easily see why Elizabeth Bennet became more than a little prejudiced against Mr. Darcy. Well, the next time they came together was at an informal party at a friend's.
"Mr. Darcy, you must permit me to introduce this young lady to you as a most desirable dancing partner."
"Thank you, Sir William. Miss Bennet."
"You need not worry, Mr. Darcy. I have not the slightest intention of dancing. I'm sorry, Sir William. I'm a little tired this evening."
"Surely you won't refuse me."
"I suppose I must be the first that ever has, Mr. Darcy. But I am rather critical of my dancing partners, just as you are. And now, please excuse me."
"Ah, Miss Bennet."
"Oh.
Don't you know that it takes two people to fully appreciate a moonlit evening? You shouldn't be sitting here all by yourself."
"What amazing conceit you have, Mr. Darcy. To think that you could add anything to a moonlit evening."
"You don't like me, do you, Miss Bennet?"
"That is an understatement, Mr. Darcy."
"I'm very sorry, for there is something that seems to draw me to you. The room was suddenly empty when you walked out of it. Or perhaps it was my heart. Why do you dislike me?"
"Mr. Darcy, I couldn't begin to tell you."
"Well, then I certainly won't force myself upon you any longer. Good evening, Miss Bennet."
"Good evening, Mr. Darcy."
"Well, Darcy, why are you walking up and down so late out here? It's almost 3 in the morning."
"Why are you walking up and down so late, Bingley?"
"I think
I'm sure.
Yes?
I have a suspicion. Darcy, don't you think Miss Jane Bennet is a truly remarkable girl?
Yes, but I haven't been keeping myself awake over that. I've been thinking what a remarkable girl Miss Elizabeth Bennet is.
I thought you didn't like her.
I don't, but I seem to have become a little mixed up in my emotions.
Oh, it's so late, Elizabeth. We rarely should go to bed.
I know, Jane. But the moonlight is so bright.
Oh, Elizabeth, don't you think Mr. Bingley is very handsome?
Very.
And extremely clever.
Extremely.
And delightfully charming.
Delightfully.
Elizabeth, you aren't really listening to me at all. What are you thinking of?
How much I dislike Mr. Darcy.
Now, while Jane and Bingley were busy dreaming about one another, and while Darcy was dreaming about Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was thinking about how much she disliked him, Mrs. Bennet was busy settling the lives of all three of them.
Oh, Mrs. Bennet, will you please come to bed? You make me so nervous charging up and down the room that I can't close my eyes.
Well, Mr. Bennet, if you don't care anything about the future of your daughters, I do. I've got to get them married and settled. Good heavens, I have five on my hands. And practically no one I know has more than two to worry about.
Well, Mrs. Bennet, why not leave that in the hands of Providence for tonight? There's really very small chance of your getting them married at 3 a.m.
Jane, of course, will marry Mr. Bingley. Now, Elizabeth, I think Elizabeth must marry Mr. Collins.
Mr. Collins? That unpleasant cousin of mine?
Mr. Collins told me Monday when he arrived for his visit that he wishes to marry and take a wife back with him. I think that may as well be Elizabeth.
Elizabeth isn't in love with Mr. Collins.
In love? I can't wait around for her to fall in love. No, sir. Mr. Collins shall have your permission to speak to her tomorrow, and she will accept him.
All right. May I go to sleep now, Mrs. Bennet?
Yes, Mr. Bennet, you may.
Miss Elizabeth, will you sit by the window, please?
Yes, of course, Mr. Collins. But why?
Miss Elizabeth, permit me to tell you that I have your mother's permission for this address. First, I think that every clergyman in easy circumstances should set an example in matrimony to his parish. Secondly, I think it will add greatly to my own happiness. And third, it is the wish of my patroness and esteemed friend, Lady Catherine de Broe. She is prepared to think well of you.
Mr. Collins, please. I thank you for the compliment you are paying me, but I must decline it.
I am prepared to be refused at first. I shall not let it upset me. I shall ask you again. You see, Lady de Broe is most anxious to see me settled and to see her own daughter settled with Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Darcy?
They have been engaged since they were born. Lady Catherine and Mr. Darcy's mother made all the arrangements. Young Lady Catherine is very beautiful, you know, although a trifle on the slender side for my own tastes.
I wish her great joy.
You look unhappy about something. Well, have you become well acquainted with Mr. Darcy?
No, I haven't. And I'm sure I never shall. He is the most impossible, vain, egotistical, unpleasant, ill-mannered man it has ever been my bad fortune to meet.
I am very sorry, Miss Elizabeth.
Sorry? About what?
That you are so fond of Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Collins?
I'm sorry I didn't mention Mr. Darcy sooner. I would have known then why there is little hope for me.
Bennet, you will kindly speak to your daughter Elizabeth immediately.
What has she done, Mrs. Bennet?
I just refused Mr. Collins, Papa.
I am not speaking to Elizabeth at the moment, Mr. Bennet, but I expect you to inform her that you insist upon her marrying him.
Well, Elizabeth, an unhappy alternative seems to be before you. From this day, you must be a stranger to one of your parents. Your mother will never speak to you again if you do not marry Mr. Collins. And I will never speak to you again if you do.
Mr. Bennet, this is the grossest insubordination.
Yes, Mrs. Bennet.
Elizabeth, do you want to be an old maid?
I would just as soon as marry someone I didn't...
Mr. Bennet, you will kindly speak to your daughter Elizabeth immediately.
What has she done, Mrs. Bennet?
I've just refused Mr. Collins, Papa.
I am not speaking to Elizabeth at the moment, Mr. Bennet, but I expect you to inform her that you insist upon her marrying him.
Mm-hmm. Well, Elizabeth, an unhappy alternative seems to be before you. From this day, you must be a stranger to one of your parents. Your mother will never speak to you again if you do not marry Mr. Collins. And I will never speak to you again if you do.
Mr. Bennet, this is the grossest insubordination.
Yes, Mrs. Bennet.
Elizabeth, do you want to be an old maid?
I would just as soon as marry someone I didn't love.
Oh, as far back as I can remember, there has never been an old maid in either your father's family or mine. Oh, I'm going to be upset. Oh, you don't really want to upset me, do you, Elizabeth?
No, Mama, but I don't want to marry Mr. Collins either. And of the two, having you stop speaking to me would be the lesser disappointment.
Oh, I am hurt deeply, Elizabeth, deeply and gravely.
I'm very sorry, Mama. Please excuse me.
Oh, dear, oh, me, oh, dear, oh, me. Girls nowadays are certainly not as obedient as they used to be.
That may be just as well, Mrs. Bennet.
Oh, well, at least Jane is not defying me. Jane will marry Mr. Bingley, and then I will only have four girls to worry about.
Miss Bennet. Oh, Miss Bennet.
Mr. Darcy.
We seem to be walking in the same direction.
I can change my direction.
Oh, no, I'll change my direction. I wouldn't think of spoiling your walk.
Just as you wish, Mr. Darcy.
This seems as good a time as any to say goodbye, I suppose.
Goodbye? I thought you and Mr. Bingley were going to be here all winter.
We had a change of plans. My sister's not been well, and I'm taking her to Italy. Bingley's coming along with us.
Oh.
There's been an understanding between them for some time. You follow me, don't you?
Perfectly, Mr. Darcy.
Yes, I think they'll be getting married in the spring, as soon as it can be managed. When two people are in love, there's little good in waiting.
Of course not. Especially if one of the people seems to be falling in love with someone else.
Yes, you do follow me. If you'll forgive my saying so, Miss Bennet, you have a designing mother, and my sister's happiness is at stake.
It doesn't matter to you, of course, that my sister Jane's happiness is at stake, too.
I should be very sorry if this causes a pain, but after all, she and Bingley haven't been acquainted very long.
What right have you to interfere in other people's lives? Why should you persuade Mr. Bingley to leave when he and Jane think so much of one another?
Miss Bennet, if I thought your sister and Bingley could be happy, I'd do everything in my power to keep them together.
Why don't you just mind your own business?
Because I'm not going to see a friend of mine taken in by a scheming woman. Your mother and sister have set out to trick Bingley into marriage by fair means or foul. And they're not going to get away with it. So now, good day, Miss Bennet. Good day and goodbye. I'm sorry that we were never able to get along, because I think that you were a fine and beautiful woman, whatever I think of the designs of your mother and sister.
Do you think I care what you think of me?
No, I entertain no such hopes, Miss Bennet. If I ever had any little conceits, you've long since destroyed them.
Goodbye, Mr. Darcy. I hope you'll be very happy in Italy.
If it's any consolation to you, I won't. You see, I haven't escaped entirely unscathed in this fray. I have a few wounds to lick myself. Goodbye, Miss Bennet.
Mrs. Bennet, will you kindly stop that infernal noise?
My poor Jane, my poor broken-hearted baby. How
can any man be so cruel and black-hearted? How could any man go off without a word of farewell after all the attentions he showed her?
Mama, please, you're keeping everyone in the house awake.
How can you be so callous, Elizabeth Bennet? Don't you care that your sister has a broken heart?
Of course I do, Mama, but I think it would be so much better for her and for you and all the rest of us if you would go to sleep.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
When I think of how that man has treated her, going off without even saying goodbye.
He sent a note to you, Mama, and thanked you for all your courtesies to him.
A note? When I think how I felt when I read that note.
Oh, eternal perdition.
Mama, please stop crying about me. I'm all right.
Oh, my baby, my poor broken-hearted baby.
Mama, I don't want to hear any more of this. I'd appreciate it if you never mentioned Mr. Bingley's name to me again.
Oh!
Come on, Elizabeth, let's go back to our room. Good night, Papa. Mama?
Good night, girls.
Good night, Papa.
Oh, Mr. Bennet, now I've got to start from scratch again. I've got 5 daughters and not 1 husband in sight. Oh. Oh, I declare I could just cry. I'm that disappointed.
Please, Elizabeth, don't hum that song.
Oh, Jane, I'm sorry, my dear.
That's one of Mr. Bingley's favorite songs. Oh, Elizabeth, you don't know what it's like. You've never been in love. It hurts so much you want to die. And yet you know you won't die. That you'll go on living with the hurt. And when the hurt finally goes, you'll be completely empty.
Empty? The room was suddenly empty when you walked out. Or perhaps it was my heart.
What are you talking about?
Someone said that to me once.
You never told me. Someone you loved.
Someone I might have loved.
I know who, Elizabeth. I guessed. Oh, I'm sorry I said that. It was selfish of me. You know far more about how love can hurt than I. I at least had a few weeks of happiness.
I did not say I was in love. I only said I might have been if I didn't despise him so.
Don't be too proud, Elizabeth. Pride is such a lonely thing when you choose it in place of love.
Pride is all I have, all I've been offered, and all I want. Good night, Jane. I'm very sleepy.
Good night, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, my dear, that nice Mr. Darcy is in the parlor. He's come to call on you.
Mr. Darcy to call on me?
That's right. Hurry along, dear. No, wait a minute. Let me straighten your hair.
Oh, Mama.
Run along now. Run along.
Well, Mr. Darcy, this is a surprise.
Good afternoon, Miss Bennet.
You're looking thin and not a bit well. Didn't Italy agree with you?
Not too much, no. Miss Bennet, there's something I must tell you.
Yes?
And it's not at all easy, since you've gone to so much pains to let me see how distasteful I am to you. But I love you. And I have to tell you.
Have you lost your mind?
No, only my heart.
You ruin my sister's life, and then you have the impertinence to stand there and tell me that you love me.
I do love you, with all my heart. And with all my heart, I wish that you loved me, too. Elizabeth, will you marry me? I offer you a name of some honor through many generations, security and comfort, and my great devotion.
You surely cannot think that I will accept you. Even you could not have that much conceit.
I hoped you might accept me. Let's put it that way.
Mr. Darcy, I've never asked for your good opinion or your love, and I'm amazed that you have chosen to bestow them upon me. I assure you that I would marry anyone in the world before I would marry you.
Miss Bennet, don't think that you can make me ashamed of my love, because that's above reproach and the best that's in me to offer a woman. But I am ashamed of the object of my love. I thought that I was kneeling at your feet when I asked you to marry me. Now I see I was only stooping a little. Thank you for refusing me Forgive me for taking up so much of your time. And accept my best wishes for your health and happiness.
Mama, what is it?
Why, what's wrong, my dear?
Our daughter, Lydia, she ran off with a soldier. Look at this note. Oh, my baby, my poor baby, married without a mother there. Oh, God bless her. Oh, oh, Mr. Bennet, he will marry her, won't he? No soldier would be so low as to run off with a young lady and not marry her, would he?
But what do you think, Mrs. Bennet?
Oh, Mr. Bennet. Oh, Elizabeth. Oh, what am I to do? This will ruin us all. We'll never get any husband.
You have all the law allows, my dear.
Aren't you going to get your horsewhip and go after that man, Mr. Bennet?
Yes, madam, I am, as soon as I can get dressed. Someone should have warned me what marriage can lead to. I might have avoided all this 30 years ago.
Oh, Mr. Bennet.
Madam, be silent. If Lydia isn't married now, she will be very soon. I'll see to that.
Papa.
Yes, Elizabeth.
I want to talk to you.
What is it, Elizabeth?
When you went up to London and got Lydia married, just how did you manage it?
Oh, it was very simple, my dear.
Lydia says you gave them £1,000. Where did you get the £1,000, Papa?
From Mr. Darcy, Elizabeth.
Mr. Darcy?
Yes, my dear. He came to see me. He heard about Lydia. And he said the only way to straighten things out was to give them some money to get them started.
You shouldn't have accepted any money from Mr. Darcy. He's not a friend of ours, Papa.
Not a friend?
No.
He's a friend indeed. And a friend indeed. If that isn't a friend, I don't know what is. I wanted to give them the money at once, but my solicitors couldn't be reached. Mr. Darcy kindly lent me the money. I paid him back the next morning.
If only it hadn't been Mr. Darcy.
Elizabeth, my dear, are you in love with Mr. Darcy?
Why does everyone keep asking me if I'm in love with that man?
Because maybe you have so many symptoms.
It takes more than symptoms to make a case of anything. I'm not in love with him. And no matter what he does for this family, I'm not going to be in love with him.
All right, Elizabeth. All right.
Miss Bennet, I am Lady Catherine de Bruce.
This is quite an honor, Lady Catherine, that you should call on me.
Yes, it is. I've come to talk to you about my nephew, Mr. Darcy, who is going to marry my daughter.
Indeed. Please congratulate them both for me.
Don't be impudent.
But I thought I was being polite.
You were being sarcastic, and therefore rude and impudent. Miss Bennet, I will be my usual frank self. I've heard rumors that you and my nephew were to be married, which I knew must be a scandalous falsehood, and I want the report universally contradicted.
Your coming here is likely to appear a confirmation rather than a contradiction.
I'm not going to have my plans upset by a young woman without family connections or fortune. I wish to know once and for all, are you engaged to Mr. Darcy?
I am not.
Ah, will you promise me never to enter into such an engagement?
I will not.
You are then resolved to have him.
I did not say that. Lady Catherine, you're not going to order me about. My life is my own to plan as I see fit. I've managed to live a good many years without any help or interference from you. And I intend to go on that way.
Miss Bennet, I am leaving. But I take no leave of you, and I send no compliments to your mother. I'm seriously displeased.
I understand, Lady Catherine.
Good day, Miss Bennet.
Elizabeth. Oh, Elizabeth, darling, Mr. Bingley and I have something to tell you. We wanted you to be the first to know.
Mr. Bingley, how do you do? I didn't dream you were in this part of the country.
I only returned this morning. Will you tell her, Jane?
Well,
or shall I?
You don't have to tell me anything. It's written all over your faces. I congratulate you both.
When I think I wouldn't have known that Jane cared if it hadn't been for Mr. Darcy, but I still get shaky.
Mr. Darcy?
Of course. He spent all those months in Italy telling me about Jane. I only left, you know, because I couldn't believe she cared and I wanted to try and get over her. But Darcy kept after me week in, week out, saying, "Where's your courage? At least go and ask her."
We owe Mr. Darcy a great deal, Elizabeth.
Yes, so it would seem.
Elizabeth, he's down at the gypsy camp right now, listening to their music. Why don't you go down and see him?
Yes. Oh, yes, I must. Oh, I've been such a fool. I wonder if he'll ever forgive me.
Why, Miss Bennet.
Oh, it seems I owe you some apologies and some gratitude.
Oh, please don't speak of them. It isn't gratitude that I want from you. Elizabeth, my Aunt Catherine tells me that she came to see you and that you refused to promise not to marry me.
It was shameless of me, I'm afraid. But you see, I hoped you might ask me again. And I didn't want to be bound by promises.
And if I did ask you again, what would my answer be this time?
Surely I don't have to tell you that.
Well, you've told me so many unpleasant things, it would be nice to hear something more to my liking.
Why then, Mr. Darcy, if you did ask me again, I would say, thank you so much. I'll try very hard to make you happy.
Oh, Miss Bennet.
And I would say, I've loved you from the first moment, but I found it very difficult to say so. And I would say, I am yours now, whether you want me or not, completely and forever.
Oh, my darling, I've waited so long.
I know. We got all mixed up in a porridge of pride and prejudice. But it will be beautiful now, my darling.
Yes, it had to end this way. We were for each other from the beginning of time. And always will be. Until the end of time.
I love you, Mr. Darcy. Very, very dearly.
Crying about now?
Lydia's married. And Jane and Elizabeth soon will be. And we have only two daughters left. They'll be married too before we're turned around. Oh, Mr. Bennet, we're going to be so lonely, all alone. Oh, I've lost my babies.
Madam, you baffle me completely.
That's because you've never been a mother, Mr. Bennet.
Praise God, I never shall.
You have been listening to Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. This has been the ninth in a series of programs devoted to the finest in literature, brought to you by the Troop Information and Education Division. For a further study of the world's finest literature, United States Armed Forces Institute, USAFE, offers you English Literature Correspondence courses, developed on a high school level, Course H91 and Course H92. Check with your education advisor now.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education. ¶¶
Thank you.